Last night, President Barack Obama spoke from the Oval Office about the future of the United States of America and Iraq. We bring you some excerpts from that speech.
Because of our troops and civilians, and because of the resilience of the Iraqi people, Iraq has the opportunity to embrace a new destiny, even though many challenges remain. So tonight, I am announcing that the American combat mission in Iraq has ended. Operation Iraqi Freedom is over, and the Iraqi people now have lead responsibility for the security of their country. Through this remarkable chapter in the history of the United States and Iraq, we have met our responsibilities. Now, it's time to turn the page.
Imad Ashur al-Kafaji is an independent journalist in Iraq who is known as the most popular radio talk show host in Baghdad. He spent 3 years in Saddam Hussein's prisons for speaking out and organizing workers and students. In Baghdad, he talks to and for the people in the communities, the men and women of the street, to give them a voice to speak to the politicians, Iraqi and American. And he is both an Iraqi and an American. What he has to say, his ideas and opinions, are not those you hear in most media or discussions about Iraq. We spoke this morning from his home in Baghdad. We bring you our interview with Imad Ashur al-Kafaji.
After reading the speech, especially not listening to it, reading the speech, I feel it's a speech not about the war. It's about Obama's promises to my fellow citizens, American citizens, that he is the one who can keep his promises. But on the other side, on Iraqi side, because I live in Iraq as an Iraqi originally, and as an American too, there is a feeling that the business was not finished. It's unfinished business. The mission was not accomplished. This is the feeling in Iraq. People, some ordinary people, who were saying, okay, let the American troops go home or leave this country, they are the same people who are saying right now on the street, okay, what's next? Is it guaranteed enough that we are not going to not like Saddam era, but we are not going back to some kind of killing or be under the control of some officials in this government who don't believe in democracy. They were saying they believe in democracy because the American were here, or most of the troops and the American presence were very stronger than now. So they say, yes, they believe in democracy. But there is a fear or a kind of feeling that maybe something will turn to be not the same way we've dreamed of as an American for Iraqi.
That's interesting. I was interested in a couple of things as you were talking about the Imad. One is what happens when a country like Iraq is invaded and people oppose the invasion, even if they oppose Saddam Hussein and wanted the Americans to leave, but now are saying it's too quick to leave, the job is not done. That's
this is the strangest thing. I think from day one there was, the invasion, even the word invasion, is nobody, not the American, neither Iraqis, will accept this word invasion. Nobody loves his country or would like to live in his country or has some pride will accept that. I think that was the first mistake by using this word. At the beginning, it was they were talking. I think President Bush was talking about liberating Iraq, or Iraqi liberation. But after that, after the UN results, they started talking about the invasion. This is something not good for Iraqis and for Arab mentality. They care a lot about the language. They care about the language maybe more than they care about the act. Imagine Arab one day or Muslims one day were in Spain, and they did not call it invasion. They called it liberation, and they think what they have done over there was okay. And when you tell them that something or a lot of things happened in Spain were wrong, they say, no, we were liberators, not part of invasion. So this is the problem. Day one, we made a mistake as an American by using these kind of words. And other than that, by maybe backing some leaders who were corrupted. They were a part of, some Iraqis found out some political or politicians are not very different than Saddam. That was something disappointing. And Iraqi, the ordinary Iraqi people, like what's happening in the rest of the Arab world, they cannot go after their own politicians and say you are wrong, because it will harm them. But they can go after the government, the big power, the great power who brought them to this country or who is backing them, like the hatred in Egypt, mm-hmm. because they feel that Mubarak is part of the U.S. agenda. Maybe there is some kind of hatred to the U.S. in Saudi Arabia because they feel they are backing the Saudi king or kings in Saudi and emirs in Saudi Arabia. The same thing here. People, maybe some a good amount of people were waiting to be liberated, to get rid of Saddam, but not to replace Saddam with some people, not all of them. Some politicians are not very different from Saddam.
So what do you think will happen next? I mean, in a larger political sense, what do you think is going to happen with this caretaker
next,
government?
Next, my fear as an Iraqi American, I share with other Iraqis, my fear, today I was talking about that on TV, my fear that they will twist things, they will change things. The people, the politicians who told the American that we believe in democracy, we believe in free access to information, we believe in people rights and human rights, my fear that they will do the opposite thing, and they will take all these things, privileges from us, and say to the U.S., this is the only way to deal with Iraqis. A lot of freedom or a wide freedom is not good for them. A wide access for information is not good for Iraqis, and they will start doing something like what's happening right now. We know, and the Constitution, they say less than a month or within a month, let's have the first session, and then we elect the Prime Minister and the President, and it's been 6 months. No one of the politicians, Iraqi politicians, is saying that they are not following the Constitution. They feel until today, or they are telling people, we did not do anything for the Constitution. It's something, this is how we understand the Constitution. My fear is one day we will suffer again without having the right to say no. Like what happened in Nasiriyah about a week ago. It's a very large city. In Nasiriyah, people were going to have a demonstration about the electricity. They've waited for more than 10 days to have the permission to have this kind of demonstration. Until today, they did not get that permission. And they, some of them are in a prison right now because they went out and had that demonstration. And the official in the Iraqi government saying, okay, they don't have the right to do that because they don't have the permission. They should have waited until we give them the permission. When are you going to give them the permission? Nobody is saying, even the American embassy here, not teaching the Iraqi officials that given permission means you have to say a certain time, 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, not more than that.
So what you just described, Nazaria, is there something we don't see in the Western press, in the American press? It sounds like you're talking about a grassroots bubbling up from the bottom of people wanting their rights and pushing in Iraq that we don't see here in this country.
This is the problem. It seems that we care as a media people, or most of the media. I'm not blaming the media for doing that. It seems that when there is a killing, yes, there is a good news. If there is nothing like that, it's not a good news. And the Iraqi politicians, they knew how to play that game. They did not say, okay, people have no right to express their feeling or to demonstrate. They did not say that. They are following the book, the American book. Oh, this is the right of the people. But you know what? They need to have the permission. But nobody of us as American told the Iraqi politicians, there is a certain time. You cannot have an open time to give the permission to people or to answer. You need to answer people, yes or no. You have the right or you don't have the right. And you cannot say, oh, you know what, our country, Iraq, is facing a very difficult era. Try to avoid having demonstration right now. People are asking for their right to have an electricity with this very hot summer in Iraq. They were not people who were coming from outside the country or outside the borders to have problems in Iraq. Ordinary people asking the government why we don't have electricity in this month. You know, Mark, 40 people were arrested at that night a week ago for being part of that demonstration. And the Iraqi officials, with that, I don't know, with no feeling of they are very, 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 very. I know it is hard. It seems that living in Iraq for 7 years, it is hard for me to speak in English or to speak in American.
No, you're
an American. It seems that it's easier for me to speak as an Iraqi and by the Iraqi dialect or language. Anyway, it is. There is no feeling of shame. You don't. The Iraqi officials, they don't feel that they are doing something wrong. They are following the rules. But this is the problem. When we don't talk about the people right, these are my concern. Right now, let me talk as an American. My concern is these people in Nasiriyah or any other big city in Iraq, like Basra, like what happened in Basra about 2 months ago. These people will hate us as an American because they will feel, or they are feeling right now, we are backing the people who arrested them. We are backing the people who are making them suffer and don't have the basic thing to live. This kind of hatred scares me. I don't want another 19 or 17 people to come to Washington or to New York and do what they have done, like what they have done before, and say, okay, see, American people, you deserve that because you back the bad government in our countries.
So, Imad, what you're saying is a very powerful, and it's also not heard very often, I think, in this media. Though some of the blogs I've seen on the New York Times from a young Iraqis have felt similar to your words here. But I wonder if you could sit with President Barack Obama and the people making policies in America, what would you say to them about what should happen now? What should a speech have said? What should the policy be? Where should America go now in its relationship with Iraq? What do you think should happen?
I don't know. If it's up to me, I would say it's not the right time. It's good to keep your promises, but it's not the right time. At least let them have a clear government or a government at least. Let Iraqis have something, okay, and then say, okay, we did our part, the rest is your part. But not to leave them halfway. They are, until today, they don't know what kind of a government or what kind of a prime minister we will have or a president. It is hard. It is good for him. It is good for President Obama to keep his promises to American people. But don't forget that we lost about more than 4,000 of our troops or of American people or soldiers. We cannot leave like I don't know, like thieves after midnight. No, we deserve something better than that. We deserve something better than that. We deserve at least from Iraqis. We didn't teach Iraqis until today how to say thank you. None of the Iraqi officials said thank you to the American troops other than President Jalal Talbani, the only one who said thank you. The other Iraqi officials, maybe they will say it secretly, okay? But in public, none of them said that. What kind of a business we did to this country, or did in this country? What kind of a thing we taught these people, these politicians who were getting American money and American troops, American bodyguards, and getting a lot of things? This is a problem. This is a problem. I don't know. Iraqi people feel, although they are against what happened, maybe President Bush did something that Iraqis, not all Iraqis are agreeing with, but they feel that President Obama is leaving them to some evil people who are in power in Iraq without saying goodbye.
So what about what people in America who, since you know both worlds so well, the people in America who have been opposed to this war from the very beginning as an invasion and a war that we didn't need to begin, and are now saying that we, A, want the troops home, and that the 50,000 troops left in Afghanistan, left in Iraq, Freudian slip, left in Iraq, are there to ensure the American presence, ensure American domination of oil, that that's what it is about from the beginning to end, and that what President Obama did was not enough because he should have brought all the troops home.
They have, I don't know, they, maybe at the beginning of the war, I was not very sure if they are right by doing that. They have the right to do that or to say that, but I was not very good. I did not understand at that time very good what they meant by saying, okay, no war, there is another way of doing that, maybe. They have the right. Any lover, any wife, any daughter, any sister has the right to have the people she loves or they love. The people, the soldier who is fighting here, have the right to go back to his family and his country. This is the right thing to do. But at the same time, these people who said no to the war, maybe they were more logic than myself, because they knew that not everything about war, or not all the war, is about Iraq and Iraqis. Maybe it's about some, I don't know, I think I said it before, it's about some merchants of this war, some people, some big shots who benefited from this war, some big companies who keep benefiting from the Iraqi war or the Iraq-America war. These people who said no from the beginning, some of them knew, maybe in a way or another, it's not about Iraqis. The sad thing that by doing this today, some people, maybe the same people, would say, okay, at the beginning, the President Bush said it's about Iraqis. Okay, how come you are leaving Iraqis in the middle of their way to democracy or to have a free country and leave them? I agree with them. I agree with them. Maybe 7 years ago, I did not agree with them. I agree with them. We need our troops back, but at the same time, we need to not just keep President Obama's promises to the American people. We need to keep the U.S. promises to the rest of the world.
So, I wonder from your perspective, as someone who, one of the unique things I know about you in Iraq and the work you do as a journalist and on the radio and on the air in Iraq, is that you talk to the regular people in the street, the workers, the taxi drivers, the people mm-hmm. who are in the markets. That's what you're known for,
right.
Which is why people listen to you in Baghdad. So,
mm-hmm.
and part of what I think you're saying to us is what you're hearing from the street.
This is what I hear. Even today, I was on the road. If you ask the taxi driver, he would like to have a decent country, a decent government, a decent life. He feels the only country, and I'm not blaming him for feeling that, he feels this is the country, America, the U.S., troops, who were the only one who succeeded in getting rid of Saddam. Without them, no way to get rid of Saddam. This is the feeling of some Iraqis, even the people who are back in Saddam or who love Saddam. They feel the superpower, the United States, were the only one who was able to of Saddam. At the same time, the same feeling of that taxi driver, he feels when the superpower is not here anymore, the Iraqi officials, politicians, he fears that they may go to the same behavior that Saddam used to have. He can tell from watching what's going on the street. There's a will inside the Iraqi politicians to be not completely like Saddam, but some kind of half Saddam. Okay, some kind Saddam image in their mind. They started lying. They start controlling the media. Yes, it's not as it was before 2003, but at the same time, it is not as strong as it was in 2004 or 5 or 6. Right now, it's weaker. It's hard. 2 days, about three, four days ago, there was more than one explosion in Baghdad. In Baghdad and the rest of the country. 300 people were killed. I think until today, we don't have any kind. It's hard to have a film or a clips or an access to that crime scene. It is hard. not even the international media organization. It tells me, it tells the people, the government, the new government, and the new Iraqi officials, they started to control the media. And this is a big fear for Iraqis, because Iraqis are scared of being killed in this country, and none of the world, the rest of the world, would not know what's going on in this country. This is hard. They don't want, I agree, they don't like the American presence in their streets. But at the same time, tell you the truth, they don't like the other kind of presence, even the government presence in the street. American soldier in the street, rarely American soldiers throw things on people. This is what I hear from the taxi driver or ordinary people. Even if they are mad, they will throw an empty bottle of water on people. But other people will not throw an empty bottle of water. They will use a fully loaded gun, Their own people, Iraqis. It is hard.
One of the things that some people have been writing about now here is that people like Neil Rosen, who's been covering Iraq, said Iraq is now a shattered country, and that that these 13 years of economic sanctions have destroyed the internal workings of Iraq to be able to live on its own. That Joy Gordon in her book calls the invisible war against Iraq. On the one hand, and on the other hand, they write about the United States military continues, this came out of Democracy Now, to invest all this money in Iraqi bases, and I have all these Iraqi troops. Soldiers in Iraq, and the non-army troops, the civilians who are armed as well, that are Americans all through Iraq. So this is the voice of those who on one hand support the Iraqi people but do not like the war in Iraq and what it did and what happens there. So I wonder what that politically means to you about where the what's going to happen in the future, with all these 50,000 troops left, all of the contract soldiers that are civilians left, the shattered Iraqi economy, what does that portend for you?
My personal fear, and I don't know. I was asking myself yesterday: is it the end of the mission? Are we ending the mission, the combat mission, and starting another kind of mission, or we lost the appetite in Iraq? This is the problem. It's okay. We need to finish this mission. Some business Iraqis need to do. Right. I agree with that. But my fear is that we are going to just leave this country and some other countries in some way or another, we leave it and say, okay, we accomplished the mission. It's not about the language. We can name it. Saddam, one day, a big defeat for him, he called it a big victory. It was enough for him to change the language and say it is a victory. Are we going to repeat the same thing? We need to face that. We need to, okay, if we are going to talk about the war, yes, let's say, yes, we lost our lovely people, soldiers, 4,000 or more than that of them. Yes, but let's go after who benefited from that war, who were behind the killing of our lovely people, lovely soldiers. And at the same time, keep the mission, do something, not for the country, for our reputation as an American. Myself, as an American, I don't want to repeat the same scenario that's happening in Egypt or in Libya or in Yemen or in Saudi Arabia. The same thing. We just forget about the people who love us, the ordinary people, even the liberal politicians in these countries, and we keep dealing with the same mistake and dealing with the government. Like I think Jamal Mubarak is very well known in Washington and respected in Washington more than other people in the opposition party in Egypt. The same thing in Iraq. Same thing in Saudi Arabia. That's my fear. In Iraq, this is the fear. This is the fear. People are, I don't know if they are right or wrong, but people are afraid of going back, not going forward. Backward, not forward. This is the fear. This is the fear. I don't know. Because maybe because 13 years of sanction, and Iraqis are starting not to know what to do with their life. If we go back to 1991, I remember General Schwarzkopf said that 40 days of an Iraqi soldier inside a bunk, okay, was not moving anywhere, and we just keep bombing the country. After 40 days, if you let the soldier out of the bunker, he will not know how to walk 40 days only. Imagine 13 years of a sanction of an evil government will make what will make of the Iraqis? Maybe you are right. You are right. They don't know what to do. Corrupted. The smart, I remember, I've lived in this country before 91, and then after 2003. I remember they used to name the one who is successful in school, in college, in business. Right now, most of the smart people are the thieves. It's identical word for a thief. He is very smart. Oh, he made himself and he collected a big amount of money in no time. He is smart and not asking from where and or how he collected that money, even the Iraqi politicians.
So Imad, in closing, I wonder, where does your hope live for all of this now?
I don't know. I'm disappointed. I'm afraid that, I don't know, it's hard for me to leave the country because in a personal side, I promised these people, I told them within 1 year, 2 years, the country will be a paradise. Maybe I was exaggerating, but at least after 7 years, I feel that I have to tell them something. But in today, when there is no government, when we don't know what to do, it is hard for me to convince people that I was right or I'm doing. I don't know. Maybe President Obama was brave enough to say, thank you. We accomplished some of our business and we are leaving. It is hard for me as an Iraqi, as an American, and as an Iraqi-American to lead these people. I think if I lead them, the same thing that they said about some American politicians, they will say it about me. It is hard for me. I don't know. I think maybe it is hard for me, for my wife, for my daughter, to lose me inside this country. But at the same time, I cannot lose myself and say, you know what, Iraqi people, enough is enough. I'm leaving. I cannot do that. I don't think... I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing, but I cannot do that. I'm waiting for one day that at least this country will be not half of my promises to Iraqis, maybe 10% of what I promised, personally promised some Iraqis. If 10% or 20% of what I did happen, okay, I may say goodbye. But right now, it is hard. It is hard. I don't know. I cannot. I'm not the leader of the world. I'm nothing here. Just an ordinary journalist trying to be an independent one. But it is hard to lead these people.
Well, Imad, as much as we can get your voice out here, we will, because I think you're an important voice for Iraq and for all of us to hear. And I want to thank Imad Al-Kahavaji for being with us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I stay safe, and let's do this on a regular basis.
I'll try.
That was our interview with Iraqi independent journalist Imad Ashour Al-Kahavaji. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Felicia Faison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.